Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, the Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, it's time to kick things off with your Flames Talk postgame show. And Flames beat the Predators 2-0 tonight here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And let's go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And we're joined now by Flames forward Connor Zary for a look inside the Flames dressing room. Connor, congrats on the win tonight. How did you see that one for your team?
It was definitely a hard-fought battle. There's a lot of back and forth and a little bit of sloppiness and lots of whistles and everything come with that. But at the end of the day, you know what? We came out in the third and we were able to get a couple and stick with it and keep that lead and win the game. That's all that matters.
How cool is it to see a guy like Dustin Wolf? I know he's been close a couple times, but finally gets that first shutout. I know he cares more about the wins than the shutouts, but that's got to be cool.
Yeah, that's huge. Obviously, as a player, as an athlete, you want to be the best, and the best you can do is get a shutout. So I think for a guy like that, it's always rewarding to see that, and obviously it's good for us to see that when the puck's not going in and he's making all the saves, it makes our life easy.
Lots of talk about you playing down the middle tonight as we got ready for the game. How did you feel on that line with Jonathan and Yegor tonight?
Yeah, I felt good, but at the end of the day, I think just got to be better. Personally, just my whole overall game, I didn't think I quite had it tonight, and obviously that's frustrating, and I feel like I got to do more. I got to control the puck. I got to focus on my game and really start producing. I think you look at it and you're getting the chances and you're making plays. Obviously, tonight maybe a bit of an off night for me. But overall, you got to start putting the puck in the back of the net and doing things the right way.
Last one for you, Connor. Third periods have been such a strength for your group this year. What's gone into that resiliency you've seen? Is it something in the locker room? Is it just a nightly belief that you guys have a chance going into the final 20 every game?
Yeah, I think it's just our belief. It's the way we play. I think we understand when we come into that locker room, the second intermission, we always have a chance to win, whether we're up or we're behind or the game's tied. So I think we got to keep with that moving forward, and that makes a good team. And I think we all believe in each other inside the locker room. So
Connor,
good.
Thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it. Congrats on the win. Have a great weekend. Good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Connor Zary, Flames forward, joining us as a view from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor all-air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. All right, your Flames Talk postgame show is underway. It's Logan Gordon along with you in the Hot Stove Lounge following a 2-0 win for the Calgary Flames on this Friday night over the visiting Nashville Predators, joined now by our outstanding broadcast duo of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson on this Friday night, guys. And I think we're going to kick off the postgame show here with an interview from the coach here. I believe we've got Cale MacLean just seconds away from joining us, as we'll kick things off with that. We got lots to talk about. A first career shutout for Dustin Wolf. Finally, we've been waiting for this. Feels like for a very long time. I'm sure it's been on Dustin's mind going back to Monday, Derek.
Yeah, well, he was 2 minutes and 31 seconds away from his first shutout on Monday, and I'm still not sure that goal should have counted, but that's in the past, whatever, because 4 days later, he does get his first NHL shutout, and good for him. He was outstanding tonight. Even when the Flames were pretty badly out shooting the Predators, it felt like every chance the Predators got was a great A chance, and Wolf had to make some great saves. So for a kid who is off to a phenomenal start in his first season as a full-time NHLer and who absolutely has to be in the Calder Trophy conversation as we approach the quarter point of the season, it's good to get that first one out of the way.
Mick, that takes him to a 2.53 goals against and a .921 save percentage, updated numbers after tonight's game.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not a goalie expert by any means. I mean, I am married to a goalie, so
you got a little bit of knowledge there, yeah.
Bonus points for that. But just the, I mean, he looked like the game was easy for him tonight. And, you know, I don't know if there's a perfect game for a goaltender, but just the way that he looked like he was so in control the entire game and was tracking the puck so well, saw everything from the point. And, I mean, whenever, you know, kind of watching the game and as we were analyzing it and you think, okay, you know, there's a shot and the rebound's over there. And then all of a sudden it's like Dustin Wolf was right there. So, you know, as you look at a game for a goaltender and you think of performance, perfection to me that looked like that was that game for Dustin Wolf.
Great time to bring in Flames assistant coach Cale McLean as he joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge tonight. It's Logan Gordon, Megan Mickelson, and Derek Wills along with you. Coach, thanks for doing this. How'd you like that effort from your team tonight?
I thought that we stuck with it really well. I heard you guys talking about Dustin Wolf. Obviously, he was the star of the show tonight. I think that it was a, you know, it seemed like a game that we had to fight through physically in terms of where we are with, you know, the schedule that's added up before us tonight. And I thought that the guys did a good job of just, you know, trying to make sure that we stuck with our game. We defended the right way. When we didn't, Wolfie was there for us and we found a way to get it done.
Well, a lot of talk coming into this game, obviously, was the move for Connor Zary to the middle of the ice. Just what did you see from him in this one?
I thought that Connor did a pretty good job in terms of that adjustment because it is pretty big in our system in terms of how he manages down low in the defensive zone. And I thought that he did a good job with that. Face-offs, you know, his final tally, I think, was, you know, like, 47%. So he held his own there against a good face-off team. So that we're happy with. I think that, you know, it's a team that is pretty demanding defensively. They get going quick and they can move around in our D zone. So I think Connor did a good job tonight.
Martin Pospisil moves back from center to the wing and ends up with 4 shots, 6 attempts, 4 hits, plus 1. Is that closer to the Martin Pospisil that you need him to be moving forward?
Yeah, for sure. That was much more the, you know, Martin Pospisil that we know. And I know when you're playing wing, when you have the speed that he has and you're a sort of F1 forechecking player, that just puts him in a better position to do those kind of things as a winger. So it gives him a chance to impact the game a little more in that aspect. But I thought that his work ethic was really good and his intensity in the game was really good. There are a couple tracking plays where he tracked back really hard, turned a puck over, started, you know, our breakout, and then it was Martin who was driving wide at the end of the play. And a couple good hunts on the forecheck. So good to see him sort of, you know, regain some of that form as a, you know, guy that we can count on to bring us energy in the way that some other guys for our team do. And Martin hasn't been able to do it as much lately, so it's good to see tonight.
We've talked a lot about the power play. Cale, what did you think of that group tonight?
Well, the new groups, obviously, on the first two power plays, there were some looks I thought that we did a better job of managing the puck in terms of settling things down than we dealing with their pressure. I thought there were a few opportunities where we could have been a bit more sharp with getting it down low after their 3-point pressure up high. But so overall, with those units 5-on-4, I saw a little bit of progress in the, on the 5-on-3. Didn't like that. Like, you never like coming out of a long 5-on-3 without a goal or any, for that matter. I thought that we, you know, weren't crisp with our execution in terms of generating the really good looks that we need. When we had opportunities to do so, it didn't seem like we were tight with our passing or the sort of delivery of the pucks that got to people weren't in good spots or weren't in places where they could really hit them. So that was disappointing for sure. We need better on the 5-on-3. So that's something that obviously we'll work on, but we're very happy that the team was able to pull it off.
The fourth line just continues to seem to have an impact every single time that they're on the ice. Think of Ryan Lomberg, his energy that he brings, obviously. It seems like Kevin Rooney is really starting to find his game again. And then Justin Kirkland, like, he had a shot block in the third period. I think the bench just went absolutely nuts. Just how important have they been in bringing that energy?
Really important. I think they've been really good in terms of establishing an identity and also establishing that role on our team where we can count on them to sort of, like, even whether it's get us through lulls in our play or else sort of spark us out of them. I think that those guys play the game hard. We know, right? Those are guys that are playing simple and they're playing hard, but they also have a group sort of speed to their game, and they do things really well in terms of structurally. So they're reliable. You saw a couple times when they were out for D zone draws against big lines and they managed those well. One of those block shots, I think, was Lomberg, where, you know, they dealing with it might have been Yossi at the point and getting big in front of that shot. So those guys have done a great job of giving us an identity on the fourth line and adding fuel to our team for sure. So it's good to see, because that's something that I think this team really needs, and they've been bringing it really consistently.
I got to ask you another question about Dustin Wolf. So, generally speaking, defensemen take longer to develop than forwards, and goaltenders take longer to develop than defensemen. Dustin Wolf is 23 years old. Are you ever surprised by how much composure he has? I mean, as Megan said earlier, he made it look easy for most of the night. And I think about that chance that Gustav Nyquist had when he was basically standing in the crease for half an hour. And there was no panic in Dustin Wolf's game. He just threw in his right leg and made that save look easy somehow. But are you ever surprised by what you're seeing from a 23-year-old goalie?
I would say no, because I knew Dustin coming into it. And then, but you're always like, well, can he bring that composure to the NHL level? And then I wouldn't say surprised, amazed at times, definitely. Yeah. I think his, as you say, his mental toughness, his composure, his patience as a goalie, and his IQ out there is so high. It's really, really impressive how he can see the game, how he can track the pucks through bodies. Even the plays where Dustin knows exactly when he has a little bit of time to move the puck on and not get a whistle and keep the play going. And in a lot of circumstances, people just wouldn't have the awareness to understand where they can move the puck. So when you think of all the things that he's taking account of, and to be able to then add on that element of, like, you know, being able to make really heady plays with the puck, I'm so impressed with him for sure. He's done really well. This is a big shutout. He's a guy that, like I say, not surprised, because when you see him every day, you know that he's all business. And he also, when we've seen him enough, that we know that he doesn't get rattled by anything. Like, every shot's a new shot. Mm-hmm. It's always a situation where, even if there's a goal early in a game, it doesn't seem to rattle Dustin. We could then win that game 3-1 if we could score it on the first shift. Like, he's a guy that just is able to move ahead and be really mentally tough.
When's the last time you had a weekend without a game day during the season?
honestly, that might be Bantam, I think.
I know you guys got practice scheduled tomorrow, but great way to kick off the homestand. Enjoy the weekend, Kale. Thanks, appreciate
Logan.
You doing that with us.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
That's Flames assistant coach Kale McLean joining us in the Hot Stove Lounge this evening as the Flames kick off a 4-game homestand with a 2-0 victory tonight against the Nashville Predators, and not back in action until Tuesday, guys.
Weird.
After that 5-game road trip, we've been calling it.
Yeah.
Now practice scheduled for tomorrow at Winsport, and then a day off Sunday, and a practice day on Monday as they get set to welcome in the Islanders and have a busy week next week. So, can't remember the last time, as I said, to kill a weekend without a game, and the National Hockey League schedule doesn't feel quite normal.
Yeah, I mean, you go 5-8. And then you have a 2-day break, which makes sense. And now you have a 3-day break, which doesn't make sense. Next week's schedule makes more sense. You play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then you head on the road for 4. So the one thing about the season, and this season's schedule is more compacted than a normal season, because instead of a 7-8-9-day break for the All-Star game and the CBA break, you've got a 2-week-long break for the Four Nations Cup. So that has compacted the schedule even further. And when you're playing every second day, the Flames were playing more often than that during that last stretch, and really going back to the start of the season, it really limits the amount of time that you can give the guys off, and it limits the amount of time you have to practice. So this is a really valuable time for the Flames to make sure that they're as healthy as they can be. If you've got any bumps and bruises, this is a good time to take care of that, maybe get a little bit extra treatment. I'm sure there'll be some optional skates mixed in over the next little while here. And then practice. And God knows they could use some more practice on both sides of special teams. So this is an important time for the team, even though they don't have a ton of games right now.
Well, and I would say, too, like, the break and having 3 days mentally. I think you need it mentally as much as physically when you're just, you're traveling, you're on the go all the time. It's, you know, you feel like you have one day between games, but then you're getting ready for the next day. And so, I mean, that wears on you a lot. So as a player, I think mentally as much as physically. And then, like you said, the practice time, like the biggest thing when you're playing a lot of games, you don't get as many puck touches. And so your execution starts to slip a little bit. So I wonder if we're, you know, seeing that a little bit on the power play. Once you get a few more puck touches in practice, if they'll sharpen up in that area.
Yeah, you talked about the mental side of things, and Ryan Huska said the same. He said, listen, these guys are in great shape physically. And this was referring to what we saw Tuesday night against the Canucks, where the Flames looked sloppy for most of the night. And I think fatigue was a huge factor with them playing their fifth game in 8 nights in 5 cities and 3 time zones. It's understandable, but he said it's not the physical side as much as it is the mental side. So that's a great point, Mick.
Let's get to the marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. And it won't surprise you, the first star was involved in the marquee matchup because our marquee matchup today was Dustin Wolf versus UC Saros, guys. And I had that as the marquee matchup because, Megan, as I've said to Derek and we talked about earlier this week, this is the guy that Dustin gets so often compared to. Whether it's fair or not, they're an inch in height difference. Maybe they're the same. It doesn't matter. But this was so often the guy that gets brought up when you talk about Dustin Wolf. And this was going to be our first chance to see them go head-to-head. And for Dustin Wolf, wins the battle tonight and picks up his first career shutout. That's a pretty cool way to do it in the marquee matchup.
Well, I really enjoyed, I believe Kevin Woodley was on with you yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And he talked about UC Saros and Dustin Wolf specifically, and how, like, being a small goaltender, you need to have more control. You need to be better on your edges. And then he was talking, he was comparing, you know, how Wolf is in his stance versus Saros, who's a little bit more knock-kneed, but then he has really good ankle mobility. So he keeps his edges under him. But, you know, hearing him talk about that, I thought it was fascinating. And, I mean, you know, as a player, you know that with your skates, your edges are under you, and then you have more power to push off. And that's why Dustin Wolf is so good laterally, is because he's so smart and he keeps his edges under him so that when he pushes off, and being a smaller goaltender, that's really important to, you know, be able to get generate that much power to get all the way across your crease. You couple that with Dustin Wolf's hockey IQ, which Kale was just talking about, his ability to anticipate and read the plays, but also be patient at the same time. I mean, you can see why now, like, Dustin Wolf has the potential to be a real elite goaltender in the NHL. And, you know, it was neat to see him go head-to-head with UC Saros, who, you know, plays a very similar style. So, neat to see, you know, two guys who are smaller, and, you know, that's been a knock on them, but it was a battle at both ends of the ice, and both played really, really well.
I thought what Cale MacLean said about how Dustin Wolf thinks the game was really interesting.
Yeah.
So I think the two hardest positions in sport are quarterback in football and goaltender in hockey. And if you can't process the game quickly as a quarterback, you're going to get blown up. You're not going to last. But what Cale said about Dustin and how he processes the game, whether it be how he reads the play or if he's playing the puck, how much time does he have, and that will determine what he does or doesn't do with it, those types of things. A really high-level breakdown there from Cale MacLean, and I loved listening to Kevin Woodley. I can't believe he's not a goaltender coach in the NHL at this point in time. Maybe he doesn't want to be one.
I was
one,
talking
but
to Kelly Rudy today in the locker room, and he's like, that's my go-to guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to talk goaltending or ask about somebody. He's like, I text Kevin, and I'm like, that's a pretty good feather in the cap for Kev.
He's awesome. But, you know, these two guys put on a show tonight, and I think I said in my end-of-game call that it was an epic battle between the pipes, and Matt Rose had a tough job tonight picking the three stars. UC Saros could have been one of the three stars in this hockey game because, you know, he was really good to stopping, what, 31 of 32 Flame shots on the night. I think Dustin Wolf had more grade A chances to deal with than UC Saros did, but he was still really good at that end. But for Dustin Wolf to get his first NHL shutout with UC Saros, the guy who he's been compared to and maybe looked up to for years, that has to be even more special for Dustin. And, hey, I had people tell me last season, people in the know, that they think Dustin Wolf can be better than UC Saros.
Well, that's kind of, Kevin Woodley alluded to that mm-hmm. yesterday as well. He said Dustin Wolf is actually more efficient.
Yeah. Interesting.
Than UC Saros.
Yeah. And I mean, Saros is in his.
He's less aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Not as much as Saros is doing that. That's what Kevin said, that Dustin's actually better at that than UC is.
And he's still very athletic when he has to be, right? But he doesn't use that athleticism just to use it. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, Saros is in his 10th pro season. Wolf's in his 4th. And it's his first as a full-time NHLer. Saros has been a full-time player in this league for 7 seasons. So it's early this season, and it's early in his career. But good to get that one out of the way and to get it out of the way against the Saros and the Preds tonight.
And just of note there, Kevin did send us a note as we were getting ready for the show yesterday, and we talked about Saros, and we said, how much of this is, you know, on Saros to start in Nashville? And he's like, it's not.
No, yeah.
It's not. Yeah. He's like, they just haven't scored. Mm-hmm. He's been UC Saros. They just haven't scored. And that's kind of the case that happened tonight for the Nashville Predators. Dustin Wolf versus UC Saros was our marquee matchup, and it's brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 truck clearout is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until May 2025. Get your text in, 960-960. Flames Talk postgame show with myself and Matty Rose. Still to come, phone lines open at 240-4444. We got a couple of pieces of business with Derek and Mick to get to before we do that, though. And speaking of Mick, it's time for the hardest working Flame. You've got a couple of options in tonight's game, I'd suggest, Mick.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Dustin Wolf. I mean, first career NHL shutout. And think back to the first 40 minutes of the game, even. He made some, like, we talked about the great A's, some big, big saves from him, and just thought that, you know, he was perfect. He was as perfect as you can get in playing a hockey game. So going to give it to Dustin Wolf tonight.
Dustin Wolf, your hardest working Flame on the night that he picks up his first career NHL shutout. Flames 2, Predators nothing here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Well, you guys have a couple days off here as we get set for our next game next Tuesday as they'll welcome in the New York Islanders, New York Rangers, and Minnesota Wild for the rest of this homestand. So before the weekend and before a couple days off, let's get some final thoughts from the outstanding pair of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and we'll start with Derek Wills.
Well, think about the goaltending matchups we have coming up. Potentially Ilya Sorokin on Tuesday.
Shesterkin.
Yeah, Igor Shesterkin. I mean, and I would think that with 3 days between games and coming off his first NHL shutout, we'll probably see Dustin Wolf again on Tuesday. But you never know. I mean, you know, both goaltenders have been simply outstanding this season. And if you would have told me that 18 games into the season that goaltending would be the Flames' biggest strength,
wouldn't have believed you.
I would have looked at you like you had three heads. And that's with all due respect to Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf. It's not a knock on them. I just didn't think that would be the case. I thought there would be a step back, a step down from Jacob Markstrom. And it feels like there's been a step up with these two guys as a tandem. So a great job by Dustin Wolf tonight. So happy for him. He's such a good guy off the ice. You get to know him, and he's very chatty, and he's the same every day is what I've noticed. Doesn't matter if it's a day where he's starting or if it's a day when he's backing up Dan Vladar. Just goes about his business. He's always trying to get better. He's a student of the game, and it's good to see people that are good people and that work hard like Dustin Wolf does get rewarded. So great to see him get his first shutout 4 days after he should have had his first shutout, you might argue. But as far as the Flames are concerned, this game reminded me a little bit of what we saw on Monday night against the Kings. I like the Flames start tonight. And Mick, you made a great point. They almost always have a good first shift with Michael Backlund and company out there. And that was the case again. They kind of set the tone with the first shift of the hockey game. Flames had the first 5 shots. I thought they certainly were the better of the two teams for most of the first period, and I would say the bulk of the second period as well. The start of the third period was so bizarre. Beasley stopped by on his way out of the press box tonight and said they counted up the whistles.
Oh,
there were 80 whistles.
I have a whistle stuck in my head.
What in the world was going on out there?
Sick of that sound.
Especially in the first
5 seconds.
7 minutes of the third period. I felt bad for the players because I couldn't get into calling the game. They must have felt really out of sorts trying to play it. Let's bring in Matt Rose for some commentary.
You guys want a fun story about how choppy that was? It wasn't just choppy for everybody in attendance here. The players felt the same.
In fact,
the defenseman decided to go for a little smelling salts coming out of that first TV timeout. And moments later, puck's in the back of the net. So
boom.
I'm going to have to pack some smelling salts because I needed some after the first 7 minutes of that third period as well.
I didn't know that was what like could get you through a choppy period like that.
Holy smokes.
Put the order in on Amazon.
You ever seen that little, many whistles in a third period,
no,
Nick? Holy.
No. But I do know like when there are a lot of whistles, I know as a player – how much it takes you out of your rhythm and out of your flow, and you're like, okay, come on, stop blowing the whistle, like, enough. Yeah.
We had all of our reads done before the 30-second mark of the third period. It was really amazing.
Well, and they're all out of play and offsides and icings. Like, they're supposed to be whistles.
And they wouldn't drop the puck on face-offs?
Yeah, no, you got to kick somebody out. And
we got no goals. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Anywho.
Thanks,
thank you, Matt.
That'll be a topic on the
job tonight. I thought the Flames did a really good job sticking with it. Same thing they did on Monday. It took them more than half that hockey game to score their first goal, and then they get 2:36 and beat the Kings 3-1. They really had to just stick with it, and it couldn't have been easy at times tonight to not get rewarded offensively. All of the whistles, the Predators trying to make things tough for them. So I give the Flames a lot of credit for sticking with it tonight and fighting through some adversity in this game and finding a way to win it. And again, a tip of the cap to Dustin Wolf and to the guys in front of him, because I guarantee they really wanted to buckle down and get this game over with no goals against for Dustin Wolf tonight. So a job well done, and two more important points for the boys tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was a good win in the sense that they were patient. The Predators did a really good job, I thought, of clogging up the middle of the ice, really didn't give up a lot at all. But, I mean, you win a face-off, make a really good play, the D jumps down, and the puck's in the back of the net, and that's really all it took. So, liked the patience and the persistence from the group. Five-on-five play was pretty good. Thought that maybe a few too many high-danger chances again, so that's definitely an area to look to clean up. The penalty kill was really good, really, really strong. So, like to see that as well. Still trying to decide, and I might have to go back and watch some more video just on the line combos. Obviously, Backlund's line and the fourth line I thought were both excellent, but just would like to see maybe a little bit more video on the top two lines. I thought Connor Zary did a good job, and Kale mentioned as well. But not sold on the Kadri line. Thought Martin Pospisil was outstanding. But those two lines, would give them another go at it and see if they can find a little bit more chemistry. But, I mean, you win a hockey game, normally you leave the lineup the same. So we'll see what happens with that. But, I mean, find a way to win a hockey game. All is good. Take a couple of days off, regroup your body, your brain, and back at it next week.
Logan, congratulations to you.
Yes.
It's a big jump, big step for you, hosting your first NHL game, filling in for Pat Steinberg. We're all proud of you here.
Thank you.
You've, as I tweeted out, X'd out, whatever you want to call it, you've climbed the ladder here since 2016. You've touched a lot of different shows on this station, and to host your first NHL game, I know it was a special night for
it
you.
Was.
And you did a great job, and so did Matty Rose over there.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that, Derek.
Okay,
I appreciate
good night.
It.
Bye-bye.
And, I appreciate both of you. Sticking with me today. I appreciate that.
Always.
And, of course, with Matty Rose. Our outstanding broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson signing off for the night. You can hear them back on Tuesday for the Flames and the New York Islanders. Let's check in with Flames head coach Ryan Huska. He spoke just moments ago in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge following a 2-0 victory over the Nashville Predators.
So, apparently not every goalie needs to be 6'5".
We're over the moon happy for him. He was so close his last start, and for him to put in another great effort, it was nice to see him get rewarded with his first shutout.
What, not just tonight, but kind of overall, what struck you about his play of late?
You know, when he is on, he seems to know, he beats the play a lot. So he's in position and he makes hard saves look relatively easy. And then it's the rebound control a lot of times. Like, he seems to know where he's putting them when he's on. But I think his biggest strength is how he reads the play. Like, he arrives a lot of times on his feet when most goaltenders would be sliding over to make a save.
What did you make of your group's performance tonight?
I thought we were a tired group, to be quite honest with you, and I understand it, and I guess I'm more pleased that they found a way to stick with it and get a win. So, a tough stretch for the power play at the end of the second period, but it's always about the response. The team could have went the total other way, but I thought they stuck together and they continued to grind out a third period and found a way to get a win, which was important for me.
What do you think wasn't working on the 5-on-3?
Everything.
How do you fix that or go about it?
It's gonna come. Like, right now, they're really struggling, and they all want to do well. And sometimes everybody talks about squeezing the stick a little too tight, or you're trying things that just simplify the game. And when they start feeling better about their ability offensively, oftentimes it starts with 5-on-5 play for them, and then it carries over to the power play. But they'll get it going eventually. We need them to. We've talked lots about our team. We need special teams to be the difference for us. Power play was not tonight, but our penalty kill was. They had one in the third period that we needed to get done, and I thought we did an excellent job with that. So finding a way to get them both contributing will be important for us.
Right. Mir Madoff's a guy, like a lot of young defensemen, put up a lot of numbers at different levels and obviously gets his first goal of the night or of the season tonight. But how have you seen his kind of overall play?
I think he's getting better over the last little while. Since there's been some consistency with him and McKenzie, we've kept them together for the last number of games. I think early on, I just didn't think he had impact in the game. He was just kind of there. But now you're starting to see the way we expect him to play, where he's getting himself up in the play. He's using his body the proper way defensively. So I feel like his game is coming, and that's something that we were hoping for to start the year.
What triggered that switch for you?
You know what, I'm not sure. Sometimes when a player isn't playing all that well, they overthink it a little bit. So I think over the last little while, we've just worked on getting him to focus on the things that he's really good at and quit thinking, just go play.
How did you think Zari looked down the middle tonight?
It was a first game for him. I thought the first period, I thought there were some good things. And then at times, I thought there was some challenges for the line when they were in their own zone. But I think he'll keep getting better there.
Did we see an example of what, you know, why Pospisil is more comfortable on the wing tonight? Sure, yeah. Seemed like he was.
Yeah, especially early on. Like, I thought he was our best player early on, where he was skating and using his speed. There was the one shift where he came all the way back, stripped a guy. He was deep in our zone, used his speed, and he ended up below the goal line at the other end. So that's what we need out of him. I think he had 4 shots after the first period, so he was involved tonight. So we talked about it yesterday, where you'd like to see him fit somewhere, but you don't want to lose who he is. And that's the balancing act we're kind of playing with right now.
Coach, how important is it when you start, and he's not the only guy, but when you know a guy's going through it and maybe overthinking it a bit, how important is just a period like that to start to get the momentum going the other way?
Real important. I mean, they want to be at their best all the time, and when they're not, they feel it. They go home just like I do after a loss, and they think about it, and some guys have a tendency to dwell on it. There's the best players have the ability to shift gears right away and move on to the next day. But they all want to do so well. And when they're not playing to their standards, too, it's hard on them. So just refocusing and remembering what you do really well is important. And that'll help him get his game back on track, like I thought we saw tonight.
See, Uyghur ends up with the assist on the game winner there. But maybe a thought on everything else he did tonight. He was credited with 4 takeaways, 4 blocked shots. He looked really good defensively.
Yeah, for me, the one that stands out in my head, like when I'll be driving home, like he stripped the guy later in the third period when it looked like they had some numbers coming the other way. He just kept working, and that's kind of what he's all about. So I thought he had a good night for us.
Right. We just go back to Wolf. You were in the organization when late 7th round pick. Yeah. You know, at what point did the excitement start growing in you that we may really have something there?
I mean, well, that's a good question. I don't even really know the answer to it, because we knew all along what he was coming up. He was the best goalie in the CHL a couple of years running. And then when he came here, I think when you know he's going to start in the American League, you wonder what he's going to be like. And he continued to do the same thing. So I think when you saw him put in the performances in the American League like he was in junior, it starts you thinking for sure what this guy might be capable of. And now it's he's at the point where he's getting fairly regular starts with his partner, and he's playing very well. So I think he's taking full advantage of the opportunity that he's been given.
There you go. Flames head coach Ryan Huska checking in after a 2-0 win over the Nashville Predators. Our Flames Talk postgame show is just getting going. When we come back, your text, your calls at 960-960. Send us a call at 403-240-4444. Matt Rose joins us next. It's your Flames Talk postgame show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, your Flames Talk postgame show continues following a Flames 2-0 win over the Nashville Predators Friday night at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's Logan Gordon, Matt Rose along with you, filling in for the one and only Pat Steinberg. He'll be back on Tuesday for the Flames and the New York Islanders. Flames kicking off a four-game homestand with a big victory. Dustin Wolf with his first career NHL shutout, and that's a perfect way to get into the save of the game. Brought to you by Shane Holmes, and Dustin's save of the game comes in period number two.
And then turns it over at the Predators' blue line, and here's Forsberg slotting it left wing side to Stamkos. Stamkos banks it off the end boards. Up the far side to Forsberg. Gets by him back to Carrier with a shot stop. Loose puck in front. Stamkos robbed by Wolf. What a save.
One of 29 saves made on the night for Dustin Wolf as he picks up, as I mentioned, his first career NHL shutout. He was also the first star in the building as selected by our own Matty Rose. That save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. Let's hear for number 32, Dustin Wolf, live from the Flames locker room following a big win on a Friday night against the Nashville Predators.
How does it feel?
Feels good. Well, he's off the back now.
Was it bugging you the last couple of days, you know, since you got almost robbed by inches of the last shot?
No, I mean, that's the way hockey goes sometimes. Like, I mean, you look at the last game of the season last year, it was 15 seconds away. So, yeah, it's not the first time. It probably won't be the last, but, you know, it just felt good to get them.
Is there a point during the game where it crosses your mind that you might have one?
I think it was a little bit easier not to think about it, that it was such a tight game, like 0-0 going into the third period. You know, when you're up a couple, you might start putting in the back of your mind that you want it, but the team stuck with it, and just glad we got the win.
It wasn't that long ago that, you know, you looked at Saros as one of those role models that a guy who's not considered a big goalie could have success in this league. Like, was it special to kind of be dueling back and forth the way you guys were tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a heck of a goaltender over there. And, he's been a fun guy to watch over the last few years, and obviously I'm still going to keep a pretty close eye on him. He's certainly one of the best in the league, and like, there's definitely things I can continue to take from him.
There was a moment there when you made that great rebound save off Nyquist, I believe. You guys were face-to-face, and you're laughing. What was going on? Was there a conversation there at all?
Yeah, he was just saying that he didn't think my legs were that long. But, you know, the puck just got stuck on my skate, and I don't know if he was just being a nice guy and not jamming my leg in, but, you know, I might need to get a couple extra stretches in for this.
Dustin, where does the game puck from the first NHL shutout go?
I don't know. They do something with it. I'm sure I'll get it back at one
point.
Where
will you put it? Where?
It'll go on the wall for sure. I think they put it in a plaque or a picture frame. And, I have my first win puck at home, so I'll definitely be hanging on side by side.
Dustin, the Nyquist save stands out. I'm sure the game is a bit of a blur, but are there any other saves that kind of stand out to you as you look back at this one?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a broken play to Stamkos on the backside in the second period. You know, Marchessault made a nice seam pass. I don't know who came down the backside in the second period. I was able to get across there, and
You know, they just came hard in the third period as well. And, you know, that was a huge kill by our group late in the third period. And, you know, a big, big first goal for Miro in the season. It was great.
How about the breakaway in the first short period? Like, when you're on the power play, do you almost kind of relax a little bit, thinking the play's going to be at the other end, and then suddenly broken play and it's coming right at you?
You want to hope it's that way, but, you know, our power play's been struggling a little bit, but, you know, give it time. It's going to start coming around. And in the meantime, I'm there to help my team. I know Weegs was back checking real hard, was able to get a stick under the guy, and make my life easy, just hit me in the pads.
There you go, Flames goaltender Dustin Wolf checking in from the Flames dressing room tonight. A 2-0 shutout, his first career NHL shutout. Flames win 2-0 over the Nashville Predators. You can still get your text in at 960-960. The text line is open to you, and that's where we go now as I welcome in my outstanding co-host this evening, Matty Rose, as we dive into some text. We'll get to some calls coming up in just a couple moments, Matty, but let's kick it off with this one from our pal Dylan and Revy. Says, Wolfie looking like an absolute stud lately. Hope he gets a real stretch soon. Give him 4 or 5 straight games. Vladar has been good, but you won't know if Wolf can handle high volume until you start giving him more starts. Do you think they stay with these forward lines? I think they all looked good, even though they didn't score. They were flying for large portions of the game. Xeri looked good at center and away from the play of Kadri. And away from the awful play of Kadri. Very entertaining game. Good job, Logo. And Marty Rose, I miss Sylvia. That from Dylan in Revelstoke. Honestly, I didn't have a real problem with any of the lines, Matt. And as we've talked about, you're coming off of a pretty good performance. I know you got a couple days off, but I would imagine they stay the same for Tuesday against the Islanders.
May as well, right? Like, Ryan Huskett did mention that he liked Connor Zary and his line in the first, but that line kind of fell off as the game went on for him. And I don't disagree with the head coach at all. We've also seen him when things like this happen that he has a tendency to maybe switch up the lines a little bit, but this time it does feel like he's going to give Connor Zary a little bit of a run here, at least for the time being. Martin Pospisil, Huska also mentioned that he thought he was his best player in the first period, so looking a little bit more like himself, back playing on the wing alongside Nazem Kadri. So there are some things to like there for sure. I wonder if they will keep them the same. You know, right now it does feel like a couple lines are certainly set in stone with Backlund, Coleman, and Coronado. Coronado skated like 20 minutes tonight. He was out of his mind again. And then on top of that, you've got the fourth line, who I don't expect to see any changes there in anytime soon, unless, you know, something happens and Adam Klapka has to get in the lineup for whatever reason. And then the other two, I would let him roll for a little bit. Like, we've talked about it on the morning show quite a bit, but the one thing I would like to see at some point, now that we're, you know, about a quarter into the season here, getting up on that quarter point, about a fifth quarter into the season, I'd like to see someone get a little bit of a consistent run there, you know, 10, 12 type of games, that sort of run. So easier said than done, especially when you're a team that's still fighting tooth and claw to maintain your playoff position. And you know, you want to make changes when things aren't going well. But it would be good to see these lines kind of roll for a little bit.
The great Logo finally gets the first one, and I'm sure there'll be many more. The next best thing to that is watching Lomberg belt out that national anthem. Reminds me of the days of yore when Christoph Oliwa would be doing his best David Lee Roth impersonation on the bench when the anthem was playing. Great win, but still need that power play to produce a bit more. Hard to argue with that. We asked Cale MacLean about that postgame, and I know you heard Ryan Huska, Matty, in there in his postgame. Not lots of positives from that perspective when it comes to the power play. You win tonight, but that's still a sore spot at the end of the second period.
Exactly, and the team talked about that as well. It sounds like one of the things that they actually liked about that was being able to kind of get into the intermission and cool off a little bit right after that 5-on-3 ended. You know, sometimes when you don't score, and Ryan Huska did not like that power play at all, but when you don't score, if there's still time going, you know, the other team can get a little bit of momentum from that. And sure enough, the intermission rolled around. The Flames were able to continue just pushing on ahead, and sure enough, we're able to get it done in the third period. Special teams is not necessarily how they won the game here today. The penalty kill was good, but the power play continues to be
another big question mark for this team, night in and night out.
This text from Trent says, congrats to Wolfie on his first NHL shutout. He should get 75% of the home games this season. Not much question for me who the actual number one goaltender is. He's bigger and better than Freddie Brathwaite was. Kid's got a pretty good future ahead of him. I was relaxed as a fan when the Flames get up in a game with Wolf in net so far this season. Dave texts in, says, Wolf gets his first shutout on a full moon. What a game by him. Ow! That one from Dave. Neil in the Northeast says, screw Tyson versus Paul. Tonight's main event was seeing Dustin Wolf's first career shutout. Congratulations, Wolfie. I personally have never doubted him. He is our future, and tonight was just a taste. This text comes from Chris in Medicine Hat, says, why call up Klapka if you're not going to play him? Doesn't make sense, in my opinion. If you're not going to play him, send him back down. I mean, you still need to have an extra guy just in case, right?
You do need your 13th forward. It's a little bit different. Like, I do think that Kirkland would have been the better guy to kind of be that 13th forward, being a little bit older in his career. But at the same time, I don't think Adam Klapka is unhappy with the fact that he's getting NHL paychecks and he gets to hang out up here. And I also don't think that he's a guy that is going to be out of the lineup forever, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
It's tough because Kirkland and Rooney do penalty kill for the team as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's not anything that Adam Klapka is remotely going to touch. He's not going to be on either side of special teams for you. He's just going to be a five-on-five kind of bruise and bang type of guy. You know, you look at a game like tonight where you knew Nashville was going to be physical and you kind of wonder, is this a game that you'd like to have him in there? But at the same time, the Flames haven't really shown that they want to just use him as like this big enforcer, like a Matt Rempe from last year, right? They kind of want to see a little bit more of a complete game from Klapka. So I agree. It's good for him to play. But of all the players that I'm not necessarily worried, you know, he's not like a 19-year-old kid who has to play a whole ton. Like, this is a guy who's been up and down and spent all last year with the Wranglers. I think that as you look at progression, you get a, you know, come over from Europe, full year in the AHL, a year kind of doing the taxi squad, you're up and down, and from there you kind of continue to build and hopefully become a real fourth-line staple for this team.
More of your texts at 960-960. This text is, hi, Fan 960.
Yo.
It's great to cheer our amazing goalie, Dustin Wolf, but I think we need to stop talking about his size and start talking about his skill. Feels a bit like body shaming to me. Ow.
I don't know. If you still think that the size is a problem for Dustin Wolf, you're just not watching. So
Dustin Wolf is always at the top of his game, never lets in a bad goal. A lot of veteran goalies lose their focus at some point of the game and let in a stinker. Not Dustin, a very impressive young goalie. So focused.
He does everything well. The mental game is there, the reflexes, the reading of the play. He's just not 6'3", so too bad.
This text is, Wolfie gets the start in front of the gets the start against the Islanders in front of goaltending legend Patty Waugh.
Interesting.
Derek was talking, we could have some good goalie matchups this week coming up for the Flames with Sorokin and Shesterkin coming to town.
Yes, we will. The Islanders doing some of their road trip earlier. They're already getting underway this week, so I doubt they're going to play a back-to-back. But at the same time, I don't know the Islanders' schedule off by heart. So,
Adam from Saskatoon says, hey, boys, congratulations on hosting again. Bigger congrats to Wolf on his first and well-deserved shutout. Great game overall. I'm sure we can figure out that PP soon. There's definitely some players that need to start finding the back of the net. Go, Flames, go! This text says, congrats on your first show, Logan. Doing a great job and like listening to you as always. Thanks and have a great night. Ash says, hi, Logan and Maddie. This is Ash. I thought both Pospisil and Rooney made some subtle offensive zone plays to sustain zone time. I also really appreciate Zary's maturity in expressing his honest assessment of his so-so performance in today's game. What are your thoughts on the Flames acquiring Bunting from the Pens for a second-round pick? Personally, I'm concerned the Flames have not scored 4 regulation time goals in a game since the October 13th game versus the Oilers. Bunting seems like a player who could use a change of scenery. I'm sure Bunting could use a change of scenery out of Pittsburgh, Ash. I'm not in the giving up anything if I'm the Calgary Flames part of this retool rebuild, Maddie.
I despise the idea of trading a second round pick for Michael Bunting. That feels like such a sunk cost. Like, no. No, no, no. I don't like it. Michael Bunting does not help you score more goals. How many goals does he have this year?
I don't know.
Like four?
It
My
can't
internet's
be that many.
Not working down
Fair
here.
Enough.
I haven't been able to get it to
Well,
me.
You didn't give me the Islanders schedule, so I figured that.
Yeah.
He's Matty Rose. I'm Logan Gordon. More of your texts coming up at 960-960. You can still send them in, but it's time to get to the phone line. You want to chat with us tonight on this Friday night after a big Flames win over the Nashville Predators, 403-240-44.
Three goals, 5 44. Points in 18 games. He's a dash seven. I don't want any part of that Pittsburgh team.
Hopefully less Michael Bunting talk on the phone lines as we kick things off this evening. This man used to hitting leadoff with Steinberg, so we might as well start him off tonight as we kick things off on the phone lines by saying hello to George this evening. Hello, George.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight?
We're good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. I'm happy to be talking to you guys again. Logo, congratulations on your first official NHL game. Something well-deserved and a long time coming, buddy. Good job.
Thanks very much, George. Appreciate it.
All right, boys. Well, we got to start off with Dustin Wolf, don't we? He was unreal tonight. And I know he doesn't like it's not something that really matters to him more than winning, but it was a long time coming for that shutout. I mean, let's be honest, he should technically have three, but it was really nice that he got it. He really deserved it. He's been awesome all year. Dan Vladar's been great all year. The goaltending's been this team's greatest strength, in my opinion. It's not a big surprise to me, but it kind of is to see how well the goaltending's performed through, 17, 18 games here. So, I mean, kudos to both guys, but it's nice to see Dustin Wolf prove so many people wrong this far.
He's just going to keep doing it, man. He's been very impressive so far. I say it all the time, but, like, it's just the way he tracks the play. Like, there is a particular play today where Steven Stamkos had an opportunity at a rebound and Wolf was able to get over and stop it. And that's because Wolf tracked the puck off of his body and then in between Stamkos' legs before Steven Stamkos could locate the puck between his legs. Like, that's what sets him apart. He's been outstanding, and I don't expect him to stop. Like, he's one of those guys – we just actually saw the replay of it on Sportsnet. But he's one of those guys that when I – watch him play, and you not only watch him play, but the way he operates when he's not on the ice, he's got such a pro mentality that's years ahead of someone that's only played however many sub 100 games in the NHL. So yeah, he's been outstanding, and appropriate that he gets his first shutout here today against UC Saros, who he definitely saw as a little bit of an idol, being a shorter goaltender himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, the goaltender in the NHL, he's most compared to by many people, let's be honest. So, it's just, I agree with everything you just said. I couldn't have said it better. I thought Mackenzie Weegar was incredible tonight, too. More defensively than anything else, because it's not something he's more known for his offensive game, but geez, like, he was unreal defensively. I don't know how many times he stripped the puck away from Nashville players tonight. I say this kind of jokingly, but it seems like he had like 40 or 50 takeaways tonight. He was just unreal. He was just back-checking hard. He was lifting sticks. Never was out of position. He was just he's always good and solid, but he had an incredible game tonight. And I want to ask both of you guys, do you think this guy has a shot to make Team Canada for the Four Nations faceoff?
I'd bring him in a heartbeat as my seven.
Yeah, we talked about this on Sportsnet today, filming for Flames Talk on Thursday. George, me, and Wes batted about Flames that could be in the mix. I'd be surprised if he didn't get a call, at least from Team Canada, to be interested. I think I could find a spot for him. I'm probably a little biased watching him as often as I do. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be one of the seven in my mind, but I think he's more than worthy and more than capable of being on that kind of roster. How's that?
Yeah, that works for me too. The more I see him this year, again, yes, we are biased because we watch the Flames more than anybody, or at least I do. But the more I see him, man, the more I'm like, you know what? If he got the call, I definitely would be against it.
Logo, who are your locks on the blue line for Team Canada? For me, it's Cale Makar. It's probably Josh Morrissey. I really like Alex Pietrangelo and Drew Doughty. I think Noah Dobson deserves to be on that team as well. I personally don't think Evan Bouchard is a great fit for the team because I don't think he's going to be on the power play. So I wonder about his defensive game, especially with how the Oilers have started this season. So I do think he has a chance. Devon Taves has had an up-and-down kind of start to the year and hasn't even been playing with Cale Makar for the entirety of the season, so I don't know if he's a lock.
I do have Taves on mine. I go Makar, Taves, Petrangelo, Theodore, Dobson, Doughty, and then maybe an Owen Power as a set. Like Bouchard,
the nice thing about Uyghur is that you know he can play both sides.
Exactly. And the thing about Bouchard is unless something happens to Makar, Makar's running the power play. Like, if that's what Bouchard's there to do, I'm going to give it to 8.
And I also think Noah Dobson could do it just as well.
So, yeah, I think we could make a case for it, George.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Final one for you, boys, and I'll let you go to other callers. What did you guys think of Zeri at center tonight?
I thought he was okay. I don't think he had his best game. He joined me from the dressing room to kick off the post-game show tonight, and he said he felt okay about it, and I think that was a fair and accurate assessment. He held his own in the face-off dot. I think with a little more run with Sharangovich and Huberto, that could be a line that turns into something. It's his first game in a while against a – you got to look at the centers down the way on the other side, I think, too, when you evaluate this, Matty. And I think he had some pretty tough matchups, all things considered. So I thought he was okay. I think he didn't look like he was far away from the Connor Zeri that we saw on the wing. And that's important because the other two guys we've talked about in that spot haven't looked quite as much themselves when they've played center.
A lot of, you know, work in the defensive zone that can be done. Now, on the other side of that, you look at his line mates, and it's not like Coronado going out to play with Backlund and Coleman, and these are just guys that shut down the best players in the NHL night in and night out. He's playing with a couple of guys that are meant to put up points and definitely meant to put up points more than defend. So I thought he started out good, but as that game went on and started to get the heavy legs and wasn't able to get as many offensive zone starts, it just kind of fell off a little bit for him.
Awesome.
I think he's still going to continue to get a little bit of a look
again,
there,
man.
A little bit of a run.
Awesome. I think so, too. I hope he works out because he is probably the natural center out of the three we talk about, right? Sharangovich, I don't see that way, and possible for me, it's not working. So hopefully it's Zeri, because if it's not, they're going to, you know, probably have to try to figure something out there because they are very lacking on center depth. But with that said, guys, thanks for having me on. It was awesome talking to you guys again. Hopefully I can do it one or two times more this year. But you guys have a great night.
You too, George. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
There you go. George joining us to kick off things on the phone lines. Let's keep it going. 403-240-4444. Logan, Matt along with you on the Flames Talk post-game show. We'll welcome in another regular caller to this post-game show as we welcome in Wedley this evening with some thoughts following the game. Wedley, how are you, pal? Oh,
twice in one day for me. Lucky.
Yes, lucky me, twice of Matt Rose in one day. But I haven't called overtime in a while, so this is a first. But I just got finished watching the big fight via Antonio Brown streaming it on his phone, so I don't know if he's going to get in trouble or not.
Apparently, who's going to get Antonio Brown in trouble? What does that even look like?
That guy's middle name is Trouble,
yeah,
I think, Wedley.
Yeah. This is like the least problematic thing he's done in months, so that's probably fine.
Ben Netflix isn't
so you
happy.
Wasted your time as well? It feels like a lot of people are pretty upset that they wasted their evening watching that.
There was more punches thrown in. I think the brawl was Guelph, and I don't know who they were playing if you've seen that video today. Yeah,
that was. I think that was the better fight, Wedley.
Yeah, big time. So have we traded our first yet for Michael Bunting? That's what I'm curious about.
It was a second, Wedley. It was a second, Wedley. No one's moving first here.
Wouldn't
just
trade a fourth
just seconds.
For Michael Bunting.
Oh, there we go. All right. Well, we'll see. Who knows?
What did you make of the game tonight, pal?
Well, part of the reason I don't call overtime anymore, I needed a break, is I'm just so tired. It is such low-hanging fruit to talk about Dustin Wolf and his height. And I can't remember if it was – I think it was Matt and Pat the other – they weren't talking about it, but people were texting in and complaining after the first because he gave up a goal. But
yeah, when Steinberg and I were doing the broadcast, someone texted in and said he didn't belong in the NHL, and it was just like, I roll all the way back into my skull. I hope my eyes come back.
And Pat and I had this discussion going back to last year. The guy's a seventh-round pick. For him to make it even this far is amazing, and it's he can't control his height. I'm sorry, people, he can't. But he may be a little short in stature for a lot of people. But his determination and drive is unmatched. And that guy, you don't think he's been hearing this his whole life? And I'm not just calling this because he got a shutout today and almost the other day, but I hope he just keeps on proving people wrong. He's done it in junior, and he's so far doing it in the NHL. You know, like, a lot of people were pretty not happy that they were like, I don't know about him. They treat him like a first-round pick, and I get being in a Canadian market, goalies get treated extra hard, but I just hope he just keeps doing what he's doing. Tune out all the noise. Even when he gets up a bad goal or a questionable goal or a goal that went a high on him, he doesn't seem rattled. He just, you know. And I'm just so happy for him because I remember, because I always listen to you guys on the draft and just how emotional he was, you know, to be taken because he was afraid no one would take him.
He was, you know? He was sitting in the stands.
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe it was his family that made a lot of noise. Correct me, it's been so long now. But
no, you're right, Wed.
Yeah, game itself, I think George hit all the main points. I won't rehash all that stuff. But my question to you is, so you guys were talking about long runs for goalies. Do you say, are you saying you give him like 3-4 starts in a row? Like what if he loses Tuesday? Do you give him the next game against the Rangers? Or do you keep going back and forth?
It depends on what the game looks like before I can make that determination. I like, you know, there could be, say they lose 3-2 and Dustin stops 30 shots in that game or something like that. I can tell you, talking to Ryan Huska earlier this week as we were getting set for the Kings game on Monday, they are like almost day-to-daying this thing with the goalies. I guess like they're really not going a week ahead of time. So it might be fun for us to talk about giving Dustin 3 or 4 games in a row, but I don't know what it would actually take for them to go down that road, Maddie. Like, I really think both guys – I do think Dustin's going
to
get
Tuesday. I think an injury is what would lead to that because I don't know if this team, given Dan Vladar's contract status, really wants him sitting on the shelf for very long. I think that they want that guy to be getting as much play time as possible, to look as good as possible. They have a decision that they have to make with Dan Vladar. Are they going to sign him? Because he's probably not going to take, you know, a 1-year, 2-year deal, right? If you want to sign Dan Vladar, you're probably going to have to give him a little bit of term, especially when you look around and see what guys like Joey Decord have gotten to be future, it's appropriate to be future goaltenders in the NHL. No, it is because right. So I think that it's important for this team to make sure that Dan Vladar is playing, so that when the trade deadline rolls around, you can try and move this guy out. Because I do think that Dustin Wolf is your goaltender of the future, and I think Devin Cooley is just as good of an option as Dan Vladar once you kind of say goodbye to Vladar. If that's the direction that the team goes, that's what I personally would do, because like I said, I don't think signing him to like a 4-year deal at $4 or $5 million is going to be – I don't think that's conducive to Dustin Wolf being your number one, because in my eyes, I already prefer when Dustin Wolf is between the pipes for this team. I don't know if the team would say the same. I know the team wouldn't say the same, but there's just a little bit more of a settled down feeling when Dustin Wolf is.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, I've noticed that myself too. I don't know what the reason is, but they just seem a bit more sharper or more paying attention to the little details more when Wolf is in for whatever reason.
It's not even the team in front for me. Yeah. It's just watching Vladar and Wolf work, and it's something that Brent Cron talks about. But Vladar's a loud kind of goalie, right? He's big pushes. He can be kind of dramatic with some of his saves sometimes, whereas Wolf is a lot more subdued, quiet, keeps it really chill. And that's just always what I've preferred between the pipes. Like, even going back to when David Riddick was here, I was like, this is a lot of fun, but this is not something that is conducive to a goaltender being successful in the NHL when you're this emotional and you ride the roller coaster like that. So that's kind of where I see the goaltenders moving forward, and that's why I think that a 3 or 4 game run for Dustin Wolf is probably going to be a little bit more rare. But then at the same time, this is a team that wants to get in the playoffs. And if one goalie is going significantly better than the other, that's what you're going to do.
Fair enough. Well, you guys get to other callers. I'm going to keep it short tonight, but I just want to say both of you guys are doing a great job. I hope Pat's having a good time. We all know he secretly went not to Grey Cup, but he actually went for the Jonas Brothers. He just won't admit it.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. I hope he's just absolutely banged up right now because that's my favorite part of
Grey Cup. I keep looking at Twitter for
like, this
tweet.
Friday is just a perfect one. This is usually the media
party. Flew him out nice and early.
Yeah, like tomorrow all you have is walkthrough. And listen, Pat's there for CFL.ca. He has, I'm sure, very important stories that he has to write and get out.
But at the
same time, I love going to the Grey Cup. Like Edmonton, when the Stamps won, I had so much fun. And then it came back here. I had just as much fun, even though the game itself was not that interesting to me because the Stamps were out of it. And I'm really excited for it to come back.
And the Rockets put you in a shady hotel. But
the old
we remember that one, don't we?
Hotel.
Oh, yeah. I think Steinberg's got better accommodations in Vancouver, though.
I hope so, or else he might not be safe.
Steinberg didn't do his usual drunk tweets at the NHL draft because last year he did Nashville, Am I Right?
I know.
Yeah.
And then the one year he did was texting all these randomly these songs because he was at some bar, but he didn't do it. So I'm like, I'm looking for drunk Grey Cup texts from Pat. I haven't seen it.
I know.
It's early yet. It could happen.
Turn the notifications on. You have to remember it's only 10:19 out there.
That is true. That is true. Well, you guys have a great night. Great job as always. And talk to you guys. Well, you know the schedule. I'll talk to you whenever. So
thanks, Wedley.
Take care.
Have a great night, pal.
Yep, bye.
See you, buddy.
Wedley calling in as the Flames Talk postgame show goes on. Let's take one more call before we go to break. Let's welcome in Keenan to the program. Keenan, you're on the Flames Talk postgame show with Logan and Maddie. What's up, man?
I just want to say this team is fun to watch. They're in every game this season. And, I just want to say congratulations to Dustin Wolf on his first shutout. And I want your opinion on this because Vladar got a shutout and they went right back to him. So you think they're going to go right back to Wolf the next game?
I think so. I think it's a couple of days off, but I think you go back to Wolf on Tuesday against the Islanders, Maddie.
Yep, I think it's the same.
Yeah, all right. And, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Keenan. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Bye.
All right, we'll take a break and come back on the other side. Last call for phone calls right now, 403-240-4444. If you're still on hold, stay there. We'll get to you when we come back. Let's check in from the Flames dressing room one more time tonight before our final break. Mackenzie Weegar, second star in-house. He is the primary assist on Daniil Miramanov's game winner tonight. He was all over the place for the Calgary Flames tonight, and he checked in from the Flames locker room a little earlier on this evening.
That we just stuck with it. Obviously, we knew that they were on a back-to-back. It wasn't going to be easy. They're obviously going through some ups and downs as a team, so we knew they were going to come and grind one up. But I thought after that second period, obviously, with the 5-on-3, I thought we came back and responded well in the third period and just stuck to our game.
And your goaltending, I mean, he kind of stuck with it as well.
Yeah, he's lights out right now. I'm happy for Wolfie, obviously. Big shout-out for him. First one. Many more to come for him, for sure.
It was a pretty good night for the undersized puck stoppers, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, actually. Saros is kicking, too, and, Wolfie might be small, but he plays really big, so I'm happy for him.
How about you to Miro? How did that go?
Miro kind of manifested it. We had a TV timeout. There was a lot of whistles to start that third period. It was kind of tough to find a flow. We got some smelling salts out for the D back there, so we all took a little smelling salts, and Miro said he's going back door, Naz won it, and boom, just like that.
Your coach had said something just about how he wanted more from the back end. I'm sure that wasn't lost on you guys. Do you feel you kind of answered that challenge?
Yeah, I think, well, especially with Miro and I think, 5-on-5 producing a little bit more, something that we've kind of talked about. We're playing solid. We've built our game, to this point right now, and defensively we're playing well, but I thought, to produce 5-on-5 and come up clutch with a big win, Miro getting his first of the season, can go a long way for him and I.
How quickly after that 5-on-3 do you kind of think, okay, we got to figure out a way to get this one, or we're going to be kind of wondering about letting that get away?
Yeah, it's good that we had an intermission pretty quick after that. I thought we kind of had to settle in and regroup. You could kind of tell we were a little frustrated, obviously. That's human nature. You want to come up clutch in those situations. You want to produce, and especially when things aren't going so well in that area of the game, you know, to come back in intermission and just kind of set in and forget about the power play and just go play our game and stick with, you know, the Flames way. We've been playing great in the third period, and just forget about that power play. So I thought we did that well.
For Dustin, to get here, I mean, he's always trying to prove to the guys, like, I'm not too short, whatever. But
yeah.
For you as a teammate, when did you see that, you know what, this guy can play?
Right away. You know, right when I got here, he's quick in the net. He sees the puck well. He moves the puck well. He's a lot of confidence in his game. He's calm back there. You know, you knew that he was going to be an NHL goaltender at some time. I thought, you know, they did a good job, you know, kind of keeping him down in the minors, getting his confidence up, and obviously winning a ton down there does a lot for a goalie. So, you know, right away, he's a hell of a goalie. He's a great teammate, great player, and we're lucky to have him.
When he's making some of those saves, like the one in the second period on Stamkos comes to mind, how much of a spark does that provide the group?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, kind of kills their momentum a bit. You got to come up clutch in, you know, certain areas in the game, and when you make big saves like that on a big-time player, it goes a long way, I think, for the whole group and for, you know, Wolfie, too. Gets him in the game feeling great. You know, that's special stuff, obviously, from our goaltender. It's not easy to do, especially on a world-class scorer like that, so it's big.
When Dan and Dustin are playing lights out like how they are right now, McKenzie, do you feel like you can pinch a little more or maybe do a little more in the ozone knowing that you've got such a tandem back there?
Yeah, I don't want to take risks, you know, too much. And, you know, I think we just got to stick to our game. But, you know, I think we got to help them out too, boxing out, blocking shots. But you definitely feel a lot more confident in front of them when they're kicking like this, for sure. But we're pinching as a group, but we're pinching smart. Just not getting out of position or anything like that and not letting guys get behind us. But when they are kicking like this, it's nice. You know they're going to come up big for you.
There you go. McKenzie Weegar checking in from the Flames locker room following a 2-0 win over the Nashville Predators. Hey, it's your last chance to get in on the Flames Talk postgame show tonight. Logo and Matty Rose hanging out with you if you want to call right now, 403-240-4444. You will not get a busy signal. It's the last chance to get in for phone calls. If you've got a text, send it in to 960-960. We close out the Flames Talk postgame show when we return to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames 2, the Predators nothing. A big win for the Calgary Flames and a first career NHL shutout for Dustin Wolf as the Flames kick off a four-game homestand with a victory on this Friday night. It's Logo and Matty Rose along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show. Just a little bit more of your texts and phone calls to get through before we call it a night here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. So you've got one more chance, a couple lines open at 403-240-4444 if you want to get in on the phone lines. Text line still open at 960-960 as well. It's as we kick things off here as the Flames Talk postgame show continues. This text from Stafford at 960-960 says, "Hey guys, question for you. Given the Flames' surprising competitiveness this season, would you open up the purse and acquire some rental talent or ride it out with the young guns?" We've seen a couple of these, and I think, Maddie, fair to say we're both on the same page that we are not opening up the purse.
No, I don't think we're at that spot yet. I don't. Not yet.
No. Not yet.
No.
Greg in Varsity says, "Congrats to Wolf on his first NHL shutout. The current praise is well-deserved. I think he has the tools, the mindset, and the work ethic to be successful. I do want to remind Flames fans that young goalies rarely develop in a consistent straight line. There will be setbacks. It'll take a few seasons for us to truly see what caliber of goalie he will be. But remember that a young stud goalie named Price was still backing up Halak when the Habs went deep into the playoffs. Great job today, Logo and Maddie." Those are just some of the text at 960-960. Now back to the phone lines this evening, and we go down and welcome into the program James this evening. James, you're on with Logo and Maddie on the Flamestock postgame show. What's going on?
Jamesy. James. James.
James going. Well, hello, James.
What's up, bro?
How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Best day of my life.
I just wanted to know what happened to that to that young kid that was that started you know, when you guys first started the season, he came up and he was playing in the mine, like he was playing with the WHL. Then he came up. Whatever happened to him?
You talking about Jaden Lipinski?
Yeah.
Sam Honzik?
He was 18. Jaden Lipinski, I think he was.
Lipinski ended up going down to the AHL in a PTO, and then they sent him back to the WHL, and he's been playing with the Vancouver Giants. He's right around a point per game pace.
Yeah, because I haven't heard. That's why I thought I called. And the second thing is, I wanted to give a shout out to you guys and say thank you guys for all you do. You guys do a bang up job.
Thank you, James, brother. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Bye bye.
Let's keep the phone lines rolling with another.
I think he might be talking about Lipinski. If he's not, Sam Honzik's down
with
the
Wranglers,
A. And,
yeah.
He hasn't popped as much as I thought he would in his first couple of games, but he's also kind of coming off an injury. So, and now they're on the road, so I actually haven't seen him play in his last couple of games. But in the home games here, I'm not going to lie, I was left wanting a little bit more from Sam Honzik.
Keep the phone calls going. Let's check in with a Flames Talk post-game show regular. Anand is along with us on this Friday night. Hello, Anand. How are you, buddy?
Oh, good evening, Logan and Matt. How are you guys?
We're good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, good game tonight. Congratulations to Dustin Wolf for his first NHL career shutout. That was amazing. And then Daniel Marumano also getting his first goal of the season. And then Blake Coleman as well, potting in an empty net goal. That is good. A couple questions for both of you. Maybe you can take a turn each. It's one of the similar questions I had Pat a couple of days ago. What have you liked so far this season, and what haven't you liked so far this season?
Ooh, broad.
I've liked the goaltending an awful lot, I can tell you that. I can give you two easy ones just based off of tonight, and I'll take all the easy ones away from Matt so he doesn't have to answer them without copying me.
Thank you.
Goaltending has been awesome. That was a huge question mark going into the season. And power play, it's still – maybe this was a Mark Savard thing, but, man, that 5-on-3 was, in a word, depressing.
For me, what I like is the progression of some of the young players. I think Coronado, Zeri, and Kevin Ball have all been very impressive compared to maybe what I expected from them going into the year. Coronado, especially since his recall, and I think Kevin Ball has just automatically turned into a top four guy in the blink of an eye here. So there's a couple of things that I've liked. As far as what I haven't liked is how hard it is for this team to score. Even when they got that 1-0 goal, we were kind of joking up in the press box. It's like you can finally breathe. Like this team, as much as they felt like the better team in that game against the Nashville Predators tonight, they still didn't lead until late in that game. So that would be it for me, is this team still has to fight tooth and nail to score. And I just kind of wonder how that's going to change and when that's going to change. So very broadly, that's kind of where I would go.
Yeah, gotcha. Fair enough. Yeah, I like both the points. Just going back to that 5-on-3 play, especially, which I didn't like at all either. Do you think we'll see more changes coming up in the power play units? Or do you think it's still kind of a work in progress kind of thing?
I'm mixed on it. I wonder if consistency might help the power play in the sense of maybe keeping it together for a little bit, but I mean, if they did want to change it, I wouldn't necessarily be against that either, Matty. I don't...
Like, the thing for me is that this team as a whole misses a lot of personnel that typically would be very good for a power play. Like, for instance, a Cale Makar, right? Like, a guy that can just walk the blue line who is a true power play quarterback. I really like what Mackenzie Weegar does. But at the same time, he doesn't have the feet that he can just escape from guys at the blue line in the same sense. They also don't have that right-handed one-timer from the left side. It's way better to have the one-timer on the left side rather than the right, because then you're shooting at the blocker side of netminders, typically, rather than the glove side of netminders. They don't really have that. You know, Matthew Tkachuk was an outstanding net front guy who could also work down below the goal line. I don't think they have anybody that's kind of at his caliber on the power play. So they can keep trying different things. But for me, what I want to see is just more young guys being incorporated as they try to just get those guys comfortable. Because until a guy like Zane Parekh arrives, or you find someone in your prospect pool that can really get that one-timer going from the left side, whether he's drafted, traded for, or he's in the pool right now, and we just haven't really seen it yet, I think those are two things that I kind of look for, and I wouldn't necessarily expect this Flames power play to be one that gets up into that upper echelon until they find something like that. But for now, I just want to see more of the young guys kind of continuing to play out there. Like Zane Parekh's a guy that I think will be a difference maker on the power play when he finally gets a chance.
Andre, that's a fair answer. And then one final question, and then I'll call it tonight. So do you think Dustin Wolf has earned another start coming up on Tuesday here?
Yes. Yes, 100%.
100%. Andre, sounds good. It was nice chatting with you both, Logan and Matty. Have a good night, and talk to you all sometime soon. Have a good
night. Thanks, Anna, and have a good weekend, buddy.
Cheers.
Next up on the phone line, down to three callers on this Friday evening with Logo and Matty. Kenton, a.k.a. K-Dog, checking in with us on a Friday night. Welcome back to the Flames Talk postgame show, K-Dog.
How's she going tonight, boys?
We're doing good, buddy. How are you?
Beautiful day in paradise.
Oh, I'm doing good, too. Just up here in Red Deer at the farm show, and I almost forgot to phone in, but I wanted to phone in because I so much enjoyed the last show that you guys hosted, and I laughed and laughed and laughed after, and we thought this is the greatest thing. Do you guys remember? Well, old Roger there. Did he phone in tonight?
No, Roger did not phone in tonight. I don't even know how Roger phoned in the first time, to be honest. I still don't understand that.
Yeah.
But
we haven't got into any of Roger's pops yet, but even my old neighbor on the farm actually knows.
No way.
Yeah. He used to call him Roach Clip.
I wonder why. That's
yeah, I couldn't imagine where that
what,
came from.
I don't know
from.
What that means. Interesting.
He was in the saucer that night, and yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he was right banged up. That was
I still don't know
Flames
what
Talk postgame
to.
Show from the Philadelphia Flyers game, or was the Oilers game?
I think that was the Oilers.
Anyways, you guys are sure doing a nice job, and I really like talking hockey with you. And Pat Steinberg, he does a stellar job as well. It's just a really nice show that you guys put on. And, you know, people, when you phone in, don't be nervous. Like, I know my son, he's not going to phone in because he's nervous, but just pretend that you're talking to your best friend and let stuff flow off. Write stuff down if you have to. Like, it's a really nice show to phone into. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I just want people to be comfortable. Just be yourself. That's it.
Exactly.
It's not that hard. Just try not to swear, right?
That's about it.
Yeah. The Flames. Boy, look at us, eh? Doesn't this feel good? You know, here I am. I remember you guys talking last time about the old Flames fan. Oh, I've been a Flames fan for 45 years. I'm turning into that guy, or I caught myself. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm 45. I've been cheering for the Flames for 4 years, and I got Poplinski jerseys and all this stuff. And it's kind of funny. I'm the old guy now. But it's sure nice to watch a product out there. You know, everyone's trying. We got the youth. It feels good. Even if they flub up and make the odd mistake, no big deal. Got the coaching staff there that holds people accountable, and we start the new day the next day. I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, win or lose, it feels like a group that you can get behind just on the effort some nights, Matty. You know, I've said this before, I think Flames fans can appreciate a team that, look, I know the 60 minutes thing is overused, and Mick will tell you it's hard to play a full 60 minutes, but as close to a 60-minute game as you can get, and the third period comebacks are fun, and they always save their best for the last 20 minutes, Matt. Like, that's fun to watch. That's, you know, win or lose, that's a fun team to watch, and the wins are kind of a bonus.
Well, and that's exactly it. This is a team that has to try so hard to get those wins. It's really the only way that they can succeed. You hope that they can do it for the entirety of the season, make a little bit of magic as the year continues. Yeah. But, it's a funner team to watch than I had expected at the beginning of the year, whether you're excited about, like you mentioned, some of the youth, Wolf, Zary, Coronado, all been fun to watch. Or if you've liked just some of the results early on, right? Like they were going out and getting some big wins and fighting tooth and nail. Had a little scrap today between Bahal and McCarron there. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's been a team that's been a lot funner to watch than I expected at the beginning of the year, that's for sure.
Totally. And Wolfie there, I mean, holy cow. Oh. I had that. I'm not going to get in that group again, but, you know, I want to meet the guy that was instrumental in drafting him, because that is a man that can scout some talent. I mean, everyone, I know hockey and I can pick this guy, but that there was a diamond in the rough, and he could see that kid. I seen it too. And way back in like 2021, I was all, Pat, we got to get this kid up here. Look at this kid in the Wranglers. Like, whoa, let's just let him mature, let him get older. And Patty was totally right. Like, look what he unfolded into.
Just it's been fun to watch, man. Like, even going back to when he played in the WHL, right? Like, he played in Everett, which is back especially when he was there. Everett was a very professional-style organization in the WHL that had a very sound structure that he certainly benefited from. And that was the other thing that a lot of people had question marks of. Like, A, he's small, but B, is he just kind of succeeding in a really well-put-together WHL team? And sure enough, he goes to the AHL, and it's kind of the same thing. Look at all the success he's having, but is it all him, or is the team in front of him also very good? Everyone's just always trying to find ways to talk themselves out of him being a good goaltender, and I'm frankly done with it.
Me too. Like, I'm sick of it.
Yep. He's been fun to watch, man, and he's just going to keep getting better.
He's stellar. Like, he's perfect.
That's what Mickelson said after the game, too. He was perfect tonight. Perfect.
Yeah, you couldn't get much better than that. That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Hey, think about this for a minute, fellas.
Uh-huh.
He's got the one shadow, but there was two other shadows he should have had. He, you know, there's a couple late goals there, but he could very well have had three shadows.
I was saying it to Logan off the air, but, like, if it's not for Logan Stankoven going out and having the start of the year he's had, I think Dustin Wolf is probably one of the nominees for the Calder, if you had to hand it out right now. Like, Michkov has seemingly turned a bit of a corner here and has started playing some better hockey for sure, and we've seen Macklin Celebrini get healthy as well.
He'll be in it by the end of
the
year.
But at
the
same time, like, if Dustin Wolf keeps playing like this, like, you're going to have a hard time keeping him out of the conversation.
And I don't want to be a guy that rattles on for 10 minutes here. And I know you got a couple more calls.
You're close.
But just one thing I want to ask you at the end here. Well, two things. You know that stud there in Oshawa that we drafted? How's that kid doing, that Parekh? Have you heard?
Let's see if I can pull it up for you. He's in Saginaw.
Yeah, he's in Saginaw.
Oh, Saginaw, sorry.
Yeah. Let's see what the old hockey DB has for us this year. 17 games, 20 points for Zane Parekh, 5 goals and 15 assists. 28 pims, he's plus 2. So he's over point a game again in the OHL.
I'm following stuff and I watch, and I'll tell you, there's another guy that's going to be in the lineup maybe in a few years, you know?
And he could be one of those guys that really helps this power play a couple of years down the road.
Oh, yeah. Last thing before I go, gents.
Yep.
When you talk to Patty Steinberg there, just, I forgot what I was going to say. God damn it.
Settle down, Roach Clip.
No. What was it about Patty? I'll phone in there on Patty. Oh, my wanting to have a nickname. You know what that was? Is I just want to be part of the team as well. I got to be identifiable. I got to stick out. I dress snazzy. I'm that guy. I got to stick out a bit. So that's all that was.
Let me clear it up for you, Kenton. Okay. We've had a lot of callers, and me and Maddie know this, people that give us nicknames or kind of sus names that are just coming on maybe to cause trouble. So Pat's instinct is to naturally be afraid of any sort of nickname that comes through on the phone lines. But now that you're becoming more of a regular, I think Pat will probably give you a little leeway on that.
Okay, man. And, like, I'm not going to phone in all the time, but I certainly enjoy talking, and we'll talk to you again when you're back.
Sounds good, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling, Kenton. Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
All right, two calls left as we roll
can't
through
believe,
here.
I cannot believe he was Rogers' neighbor.
I can't either.
That's wild.
That's a tremendous story. Man, we got another Flames Talk post-game regular we got to get to. Jose is on the line. Jose, whoa, checking in on a Friday night. What's up, brother?
Roll back.
Hello?
Jose, what's up, man?
Logo, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? I was like, I've always wanted to call in when Logo's on the show because it's usually a day where, like, Pat has the night off, and that's usually on a weekend. So to, like, get this on a Friday night, and when I'm not working, that's kind of a cool coincidence. I love it, brother.
I love it, man. I'm glad that you called.
You're holding the fort, man. You're holding the fort. It was a good game. I mean, I was watching most of the Tyson fight. I had the Flames game out of the corner of my eye, so I saw a couple of the goals, and I saw that Dustin Wolf had the shutout. So, I mean, I'm excited about this team. I'm excited about where we're going. Although it always seems to, you know, get me up and then let me down, and I don't know. It's like an ex-girlfriend. Like, you know, you think something's gonna happen, and then all of a sudden, you know,
this time's not gonna go wrong. This time they'll love me forever. This time, right?
Exactly, I can change her.
I can change
her. She's not gonna let me down.
Oh, man. Like your next girlfriend, Jose, man, enjoy the good moments. I still don't think we have any idea what this thing is yet this year. I mean, we've seen some really high highs. We've seen some pretty low lows at times on that road trip. And I just tell everybody, enjoy. Wins are fun. Nights like this are fun. I have no idea how many of them are going to come, but it's a good night tonight to be a Flames fan, and that's a good thing.
You know what? It's always great when you go. Like, I was at the L.A. game. And it's such a great feeling when you go to the game and the fans are in it and the energy in the building is just buzzing and it just it's
that's
we just hang up on him?
I don't know what happened there. That's about on brand for how we're doing
Zom,
things.
Did you just hang up on him by accident?
No, he just dipped out.
He wouldn't have been touching the phone lines. We were going to call her on. Jose, we love you, buddy. We got to get through these phone calls before we get out of here.
I'm done.
Jose, always appreciate you calling in, brother. Call in next time. Patty loves hearing from you. We got two more calls to get through. Steve and Bob are on the phone line. Let's get to Bob as we keep rolling on here with Logo and Maddie. What's up, Bob?
Well, hi, guys. How much attention is Pat paying to the game tonight out in Vancouver? Have you heard from him at all?
Zero.
I think he was actually watching it.
He told me zero.
Oh, really?
He told me he wasn't going to watch tonight, Bob.
I don't know. He was doing some family time, so I don't know if he was dialed in or what.
Well, I go to about a third of the games now, and I'm off to a really good start because we're 3-0. But from where I was sitting, I think Harvey deserves an assist on the winning goal.
Why is that?
Let me explain. I sit in, I'm up in section 222, which is over the visiting team goalie's right shoulder, sort of. And there was a timeout, and Harvey was down in 219, and he was firing off, I don't know what it was, T-shirts or caps or something.
Good old T-shirt cannon.
Yeah, and the T-shirt cannon. And he was aiming them. He was shooting them over. His handler there was saying, get ready for them in 225. So he was putting a lot of power into it.
You love and, that.
So he was, as the timeout was coming to an end, he started firing. And they had the face off, and everybody was paying attention to Harvey. And so there was the face off, and Naz got the face off to Weegs, and over to the other guy, and it was in the net like 3 seconds. So
Miro,
maybe Harvey was distracting Saros. with all the yelling that was going on, you know, sort of right behind the goal.
You know what? And, I would say that's extremely unlikely, but I love the way you think.
Thank you.
How about that?
Now I have a question for you guys who watch more games than I do. When there's icing, how do the officials decide which side to have the face-off on?
Yep. Yes.
How do they do that?
They simply tell the linesman.
Yeah, what'll happen is you'll see the linesman, and he'll have kind of his arms crossed in front of him, and then the centerman will come out, and he'll say, and he'll just point usually, or he'll nod or do some sort of motion towards whichever circle, and then the referee, the linesman, will point to that circle, and that's where the players will get lined up. But, yeah, it's just as simple as literally the center just goes over and just tells the linesman, that's okay, where I want it. Right. Go there. Let's do that. And then they do
it. So it's the team that – it's the – like the non-icing team.
It's a benefit to the team that – yeah, the team that iced the puck does not get to choose. It's not like a benefit. Yeah, it's a –
just like they don't get to – they have to face the face-off in their own end.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
And how about on a penalty?
I believe they do
same thing. Typically, in a penalty, it might be that the actual referee and he actually goes and talks to the coach, but the entire thing is pretty streamlined at this point.
Okay. Thanks very much. Good night.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, thanks for calling, buddy.
Anytime.
Final call of the night on our Flamestock postgame show goes to Steve this evening. Steve, you're on with Logan and Matt. How are you, buddy?
Good. You?
We're good, man. What did you think of tonight's game?
Awesome. Okay, so I listened to you guys on my cell phone on stream.
Yeah.
And I watched the fight and everything like that. You guys did awesome, by the way.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
You guys are wicked. And I listened.
We enjoy it.
Yeah, no, of course you do. Why else would you do it, right?
On for the money.
Like, boatloads of cash.
Go ahead. Does Dustin Wolf not make you tingle? You know what I mean? Like,
he kind of does get me a little excited. I gotta lie, it's fun watching him do his thing.
Butterflies, like going to pick up my first date. God. Yeah,
he's just like the light of the fire. You know what I mean? He's just like, oh my gosh, if this team turns it and they make the playoffs, can you imagine if he steals two rounds? He can do that. Do you not agree with that?
At this point, I'm done doubting Dustin Wolf in any shape, form, or capacity.
So sexy, dude. His play is unreal.
It's the type of stuff that you think about, Saros has had a couple of runs in the playoffs where he's got the Predators through a couple of rounds. Even Seelovs for the Canucks had a little bit of a showing there against the Predators this past year. So there's always goalies that can go out and steal you a couple of games when you really don't deserve it. Hell, the Flames went all the way to the Stanley Cup Final on the back of Mika Kiprusoff essentially doing exactly that.
100%. Was that not save Kiprusoff-esque?
Which one? With the splits?
Well, oops. Sorry. Oh, no. I'm cut off, probably.
No, you're good.
No, we're going to pass that one over. I didn't quite hear you there, Steve.
So you cut out.
Okay, yeah, I'm just going to say be good for the rest of the phone call, please.
The secondary split save was one, but then tonight he did another one where you're just like, are you kidding? Just the athleticism. You know what I mean? Like, Kiprusoff, he was like, he wasn't very, like, thick, you know what I mean? And that allowed him to be super stretchy, like a yoga master. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right? I do know what you mean, yes.
Like, here's the thing. Like, even being around Brent Cron and watching how flexible he still is at his age, it doesn't surprise me what the younger players in their prime can do.
Yeah. No, that's legit.
But I get that tingly feeling you're talking about, Steve. I don't think you're the only one feeling that, buddy.
Oh, man. Like, I think he's going to be – he's the next thing. He's like – when I watch him play, he's like the next Kipper. And Kipper made a difference. If Kipper wasn't around, we wouldn't have gone to the Stanley Cup final. That's a fact. Right?
I don't want to put the horse ahead of the cart too much here, because we're talking about, you know, generational talent between the pipes that the Flames have.
Yeah, guy
here.
That's number that's up at the dome.
Yeah, and appropriately so, but at the same time, things have started out pretty rosy for the new number 32 or 31.
Oh,
32.
Man. I'm going to buy his jersey tomorrow.
Oh, look at after you. Which jersey?
Which one
are you going to get?
I think it's going to be the Blasty.
Perfect choice.
Little sneaker here, as they were cleaning out the Flames locker room. Looked like they were bringing out some dark gear.
Oh,
might be going dark mode.
Are we going
next
dark
week?
Mode next week? I love it.
Oh,
yep.
That's awesome.
Best
you guys
unis
are beauties,
in the league,
by the way. You guys are beauties, absolute beauties.
No, well, you are.
Why was Pat not there?
He's in Vancouver covering Grey Cup for CFL.ca. So
typically, the Flames play like four games this week, but the way the schedule worked out, he would only have to miss the one game here this Friday to go and do a whole Grey Cup thing. And he's been writing for CFL.ca for a long time. He's covered the league for a long time. He very much enjoys the league. So this year, he got an opportunity to go out and only had to miss one game. And as difficult as it is for Pat to not work, he decided to not work. And
he worked hard.
He sure does.
He's a grinder, dude.
He plays hard when he has to. It's all good. I really appreciate you guys. You guys did a great job tonight. So
thanks, Steve. Appreciate that, man. Have a great weekend, hey?
Yeah, you too, bud.
Calling again. Steve, closing us out on the Flames Talk post-game show tonight. That's going to do it for us, Matty. That's a good way to end it. It's been a busy night, but a great night. Thanks to our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. Thanks to my outstanding co-host alongside me today during intermissions and pregame, postgame, Matty Rose. Thank you to everyone who called in, texted in, enjoyed the program tonight. Thanks to our on-site engineer, Matt Jakusko. Thanks to the best in the biz, Tim Khalil, for working the board upstairs. And a big thank you to Azam Alinanji back at Sportsnet 960 Downtown Studios for making the sound oh so good over the airwaves. Flames off for the weekend. No practice for the guys. They get to enjoy a couple of days off before getting back at it on Monday.
Look out.
They'll be back at practice as they get set for the remainder of this homestand, at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Games next week against the New York Islanders, the New York Rangers, and the Minnesota Wild. For everyone on our Flames Talk broadcast crew tonight, this is Logan Gordon signing off on another edition of Flames Hockey here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.